I with Joe don't have anything new this morning. In fact, my message is probably going to sound a lot like Joe's. And I'll go out on a limb. I would kind of expect the trumpet Walter's going to blow is going to have a distinctive sound as well. If you would, please turn to John 17. I'm going to read the whole chapter. John chapter 17. This is Christ praying to the Father on behalf of his people. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved me. Love them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I want to talk today about vital union. I know there's some, I didn't know this before, but when I started looking at this, I found out there were some doctrines out there on vital union. I don't know what they're really about. I didn't look at them. So, you know, I might find myself on one side or the other of those doctrines. I don't know. Or maybe outside of both of them. I don't know. But first, I want to simply give you the meanings of these two words and then go to Scripture to show you what Scripture tells us about any vital unions that might be of any benefit to God's people. Neither of these words are found in the KJV, at least not from my searches. I didn't find any. But there are some vital unions spoken of in Scripture. We just read some, even though those words may not be used. So first, the word vital. And this is just from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It says, of the utmost importance, fundamentally concerned with or affecting life or living beings, such as tending to renew or refresh the living, invigorating, destructive to life, mortal, concerned with or necessary to the maintenance of life, existing as a manifestation of life. And then the word union. This word, again from Merriam-Webster's, an act or instance of uniting or joining two or more things into one, such as the formation of a single political unit from two or more separate and independent units. We care nothing about that. A uniting in marriage, the growing together of severed parts, a unified condition, something that is made one, something formed by a combining or coalition of parts or members. So putting these two things together, this is what I want to show you today. Those things vital to life and or that manifest the existence of that life by the act of uniting together in marriage, being made one. I want to do this in 3 points. Unity of the Godhead, unity of the saints, and unity in Christ. I first want to say that God, in the person of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, do not become united into one. Scripture says they are one. But the God we are talking about is the Creator of all things. Him being the Creator of all things means He is the controller of all things, because all things belong to Him. Scripture says He kills and makes alive. That means He kills the reprobate when He is pleased to do so, and He kills those that are chosen of God when He is pleased to do so. Yes, sir. He also gives life to whomever He wants to. This meaning spiritual and physical both. This sovereign God who is in control of all things, even life as we are looking at, is the one I am talking about. The one spoken of in Scripture as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Scripture tells us these are three are one. In 1 John 5:7 it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And I've just seen this passage, by God's grace, after reading this passage probably hundreds of times and hearing it preached hundreds of times. But listen to what this says in Mark 12, beginning in verse 29. And this is where he's talking about the greatest commandments. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, and here's the part I didn't even recognize, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This one God is the one that you have to love with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This one Lord who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the law says you must love this God this way. So anywhere it talks about God the Father, God the Son, the Word, and God the Holy Ghost, you will love and believe about Him and will never fail in doing so, or you have broken the whole law. These three are one and have agreed from before the foundation of the world, Job, on the glory that would be given, the salvation that would be wrought, the grace that would be bestowed, the revelation that would come to pass, and the marriage that would take place. This one unified God, who some men say was one way in the Old Testament and another way once Christ came, are one and the same, because God is one and God never changes. In 1 John 2, verses 22 and 23, we read this: Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. This God made a covenant himself to save a people and to give glory and honor to his name. This he done from before the foundation of the world. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost all agreed in one to bring salvation to man and unite to those for whom were chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. In God's thoughts, we were united to Him then. But to man, He made promise in time that salvation would come to man.
Yes.
He did this in the garden after the fall when He made promise to Adam and Eve that her seed would bruise the head of the serpent. But He also made promise to Abraham. And we read in Hebrews 6, verses 13 and 14 this: For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. So we see that the one, true, holy, just, gracious, sovereign God is vitally unioned to get together. Which, it may not be a good way to say that, but they're vitally unioned together. They are one. They're together. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, as God, they have one thought and one purpose. They do not have separate purposes. They purpose to unite to the people chosen in Christ, Joe. But we as God's people are also vitally joined together to one another. So unity of the saints of God, unity of the righteous. This unity of the brethren is all ordered of God, and it will look and behave as He has seen fit for it to, whether I can see it or not.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, we can and do at times do not walk in a way that would indicate unity of the brethren. But I know we do because He is the one that provides the nourishment and creates the binding together of His body.
Yes, sir.
But we know it is good for us to walk together. Psalms 133:1 says this: Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I wish we could all do that.
Yeah.
Not just here at this assembly, even other assemblies, I wish we could all just dwell together in unity. But the Scripture says we are of one heart and soul. If so be, Christ dwells in us. In Acts 4:32 it says, begins the verse, it says, And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Romans 15:5 and 6 says this: Now the God of patience and consolations grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that it is good for us to dwell in unity, and by the granting of God, we are like-minded one toward another, so that we might glorify God with one mouth. We are one body, as we talked about last week, being His body, the church. If we are seeking God as He is in the face of Jesus Christ, He grants us then we will walk as one, we will speak as one, and we will see as one. We should endeavor to walk as it becometh the gospel. That means we should conduct ourselves in this world so that we honor Christ and His word. We should speak so that it honors Christ and His word, and walk so that it honors Christ and His word. In doing this, we will benefit from being vitally united together as believers in Christ and His gospel. But the God that is vitally union together is the one that does the joining of us together with Him. Because without this union, us being joined together to one another would mean absolutely nothing. This world can be united together as well. In fact, they'll join together themselves when it comes to God's people to kill them or to hurt them in some way. So the unity with Christ, for Christ, and by Christ is what I want to speak about next. This great God, who is one in three persons, purposed that He Himself would come down. He was made a little lower than the angels. He became a man, flesh and blood, because a man had to pay for man's sins. He says in Genesis 22, verses 6 through 8, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." God said here through Abraham that He, God Himself, would provide the lamb because He would be the lamb Himself. The only way we could ever be united to God would be if God Himself would take our sins in His own body, so much so that they are taken as far as the east is from the west. This means that they are never to be seen again of God. That is the important part of this, that God would never see them again. Him doing that, joining us to Himself, us being made the righteousness of Christ in Him. The Godhead agreed in one as one to bring together a people for His name. We see that Jesus Christ prayed for this in our passage. What Christ prays for, He gets, because He is the only begotten of the Father. The Godhead was pleased to bring His people into Christ in time through sanctification of the Spirit, and that is the giving of life by God Almighty Himself, seeing that He kills and He makes alive, setting His people apart for a specific reason. Setting His people apart for a specific reason, and that is for belief of the truth, which He was pleased to do so through the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Those who have been sanctified by the Spirit are sent a messenger with the gospel, so that those who He has set apart, those He has cleansed, might believe Him. So we are translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, being born again of the Spirit. So we are conceived by Him and Him alone. And then we are birthed by His gospel in His due time, believing Christ. When does this sanctification of the Spirit happen? I don't know. Some say when the gospel is proclaimed, He does this. I cannot argue with that, because I don't know what the Spirit of God is pleased to do, nor do I know who the Spirit of God is moving on in grace or when. But this is sure, that God must cleanse them first. He must set them apart first, before they will believe Him. Dead men do not believe. Only those who are living by the almighty breath of God can believe. They do this because they, having the indwelling Spirit, have faith. That faith, which is Jesus Christ's faith given to them, measured out to the measure He is pleased to measure unto them. In so doing, God brings them into Christ. Christ says when He prayed, "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one." In verse 23, it says that in our text. He says this also in John 6, verses 56 and 57. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Those to whom God Almighty reveals Himself are bodily union to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost in Christ. The Godhead being one, we are also one with them by them. The work of salvation is all of the Lord, and He has so joined us to Him by His work that we are one with God. I just cannot even imagine that, or it just don't sink in sometimes. I just know that this is what God says to His people. And listen to me, this is only to His people. Because if you do not eat His flesh and drink His blood, you are not in Him. If you do not love and want to hear Christ and Him crucified, proclaimed, then you are not eating His flesh or drinking His blood. This is what it means to do that. To take in and to love the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. All these things taking place all hinge on His one sacrifice for sins forever. Romans 8 teaches us this, that those for whom Christ condemned sin in the flesh and those for whom He did this will mind the things of the Spirit, but those who are not will mind the things of the flesh. 2 John 1 and 9 says this, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." This Christ who has placed us in Himself by His death and ascension to God the Father, sending His Spirit in us so that we might be one with Him even now, this same Christ has promised to come for us again. There will be an ultimate uniting of the people of God at the marriage supper of the Lamb with His bride, the Church of God. Us being found in His righteousness, we will ever be with Him in glory. Oh, what a day. Revelations 19 and 7 through 9 says this, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted," God Almighty granted this to her, "that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints," not of the saints, of saints. "And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." And then one more, Revelations 21 and 9 says this, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." So, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, being one, they have purposed and have also carried out and are carrying out that purpose. This purpose is unstoppable. Yeah. They have and are bringing many sons and daughters of Adam into Christ, making them one body in Christ, providing for them all that is needed. In Romans 12:5, we read this, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Because we have the faith of Christ, as we have been given this faith by His Spirit, we can and do believe him. This we do remembering what Jesus Christ did for us, so that we might become the sons of God. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, we read this, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And then again in 1 Corinthians 8:6, we read, "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." My brothers and sisters, knowing this, that Jesus Christ has prayed to God the Father that we be one in them. Jesus Christ the Son is God. Jesus Christ the Son of God is always heard of God the Father as they are one and agree in one. Knowing this, let us love one another. Let us endeavor to do what we can to preach Christ and him crucified, because he is the Savior of the body. Galatians 2:20 says this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." This union, this vital union, purposed by God, is the hope of his people, that they might be joined and ever joined with him in love. This union being covenanted and swore on by the Godhead, this one God has been pleased to come down to make a union with wicked, sinful men, those who are enemies of God before they know Christ. He came and worked a work that has forever created a union with the sovereign God of the universe, and no man and no thing will ever be able to undo that union. Oh, that I might remember this every day and every minute. May I, by his grace, walk in a way that becometh the gospel. He deserves it. I do not. Now, I just want to read through the passage again, starting in verse 11, John 17 and verse 11. I just want to read it again. "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Having given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. In I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and thou as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Praise be to his name, who has made us one with him. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank you once again for allowing us to be here, dear Lord. Give us the words to speak, dear Lord, that we may speak the truth, dear Lord. Praise your name, your grace, for it all is all of you, dear Lord. Open our hearts, minds, and ears, dear Lord, that we will take this in, and it will comfort us as we go throughout our life in this world, wherever we may be. Be with those that are not here for one reason or the other, dear Lord, and comfort them, and you know, give them what is needed to get them back well, if you are pleased to do so. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.